Welcome to Revealing Men, conversations that pull back the curtain, revealing the inner lives of men. I'm Randy Flood, psychotherapist and director of the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan. I'd like to welcome psychotherapist Mary Jo Drucki, who I might affectionately call MJ here today, so that would be delightful if I do. Mary Jo leads men's groups with me once a month on a rotating basis. She's an artist, a mother, a wife, a grandmother, and a sister of several brothers. She's trained in meditation and has studied with various gurus throughout the nation and even the world, such as Alan Wallace, John Kabat-Zinn, and Eckhart Tolle. So I'd like to welcome Mary Jo. Thanks for coming.
Thank you, Randy.
Yeah.
It's good to be here.
So yeah, I mentioned in the introduction that you were raised with brothers. And so when we talked about you running men's groups with me, that was one of the things you kind of chuckled about, that you had had good training and being with men. So talk a little bit about your background and we can take it from there.
Absolutely. I was the youngest of four, and those other three were brothers and considerably older. My youngest brother was 10 years older than me. So they sort of had an attitude that I don't know how much of that was just specific to my brothers or the time and that we grew up in back in the 50s and 60s. I knew that they loved me, but they didn't make life very easy for me. So, you know, there was a lot of the traditional sort of girls don't do that. In fact, you know, being much younger, I didn't have all the skills that they had in terms of just communication. So it was easy for them to dismiss me. Mm. And yet, as I said, I knew that they loved me and they still do. So, even though our roles have changed dramatically over the years. So yeah, that male energy, it's not foreign to me.
Right. And I noticed that when we're doing groups together, that your level of comfort, and I think the guys pick up on that too, that they can be men with you, and you kind of roll with that. And I think you appreciate the beauty of masculinity, but you also have a deeper understanding, I think, of some of the difficulties that men come to the groups with, mm-hmm. and have some compassion for that. So I'm wondering if you want to say a little bit about what you know about men's struggle that they bring into this room, growing up male in our culture.
Yeah, yes. You know, I think part of that is my understanding of it is in seeing with a 10-year gap with my brothers, I saw them being confined in some ways by the role, the stereotypical male role of breadwinner, tough guy, you know, drinking hard and partying hard and all that stuff was acceptable. Mm-hmm. But we did not have tender moments. And I don't feel so bad about it for myself as I do for them, because even still, I see them suffer from that, and unable to express that, and they're human. They need stuff just like us women do.
Right.
They need love. They need care, and they need expression. And so I see some of the men come in who are many of them are younger than me. Maybe all of them, but I see the goodness of their hearts. Mm-hmm. They're working.
Right.
And so it seems to me that some of those things that people get hung up in, or that men get hung up in, women have their own issues that they get hung up in too, right, stereotypically. But I see that and it's almost like it's, I'm not going to say that it's not their fault, because that implies that there's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
But they came to it without asking for it,
mm-hmm.
and have had to really adjust, I think, their true nature to fit in, to be accepted as men, even as boys.
Right.
And growing my own son, I have seen so much of that happen.
Right.
It was the last thing I wanted to do, but it's there, even
right.
if in the home it's not. It's just there in the
right.
culture.
So yeah, you talk about the true nature of men, and we talk about our work here. Mm-hmm. And Charlie and I wrote about it in our book, about this idea of resocialization and kind of the reclamation of men's emotions. And so I wonder if you could say a little bit about what you do see and the amount of courage you think it takes to see grown men who are very successful as attorneys or doctors or plumbers or whatever come into this room with us, and they have the courage to begin to be honest about what's going on in their inner lives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 I'm truly struck by that. I think I see them expose like their tender underbelly that they've guarded and test that out. And I think that takes an enormous amount of courage. In a room of other men, they don't know how they'll be received. Eventually they do, you know, but that initial offering is, even though they've seen other men do it, it can be really hard. And I think part of what makes it difficult is that for some of them, it's been so ingrained in them
right.
that they can't really see what they're missing.
Right.
The value of the feelings that they have, the value of the thoughts that they have that are so inside, internal, and that to express them could mean something to another human being.
Well, don't you think there's this fear that it may appear weak, and that to express feelings is kind of, in some ways, it's antithetical to being male. Men suck it up. Men don't wear their emotions on their sleeve. There's so much of that, as you say, that they grow up with. So there's a sense of being maybe weak or melting or a self-diminishment when you share feelings. And you see men maybe have a different relationship with their emotions over time that changes, that shifts?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I think that initial thing, that initial expression, that initial toe dipping into this realm of expression of emotion, even acknowledgement of emotion, first of all, the recognition and acknowledgement,
right.
but then expression of it is another thing.
Right.
But I think part of what's so difficult for men in sort of a general way is that it also brings up a sense of shame and a sense of identity. This is so acculturated that the identity of being male for so many men are those things that you said.
Right.
And so it's like stepping off that can be like really, truly jumping into the abyss.
Right.
What am I giving up here? I'm giving up me.
Right.
So to do that, I think takes an enormous amount of courage and
right.
trust.
Right. And that's what I think that one of the reasons to have you circle in with me with the guys, because I think there's a way in which men can assume, not that you represent all women, but you bring in a presence that maybe gives them a chance to experience the level of respect and care that you can show in your eyes and in your voice when they are being vulnerable. Because I think the fear is for a lot of men, and it's still a lot of pressure on them, is to stay on their white horse and to be strong and don't let them see behind the curtain of what's really going on, because women will be unattractive to that.
Mm-hmm.
That'll look weak. And so I don't know if they trust that it's safe really to be vulnerable with their partners.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's one of the reasons that I really enjoy this work so much, because I do, in a way, get to stand in for all women, kind of. And I hope that I represent the feminine well in that way, that I am touched by their willingness to try. I am touched also by the road that has led them to a place where that is so tremendously difficult.
Yeah.
That's a big hurdle.
Right. So it's almost like you enter in a sacred space in some ways.
Absolutely. I absolutely feel that. And interestingly, I do not feel, sometimes I feel like it's like, oh no, Mary Jo's here. Not because I'm a woman, just because I think that you and I have a little different styles. And sometimes men can be the men in the groups can mm-hmm. be a little uncomfortable with my style. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it's because I'm a woman. And so that's huge for me.
Right.
Is I really do not feel any kind of like holding back or dismissal most of the time. I mean, there are occasions that I feel dismissed because I'm a woman. Right. But that's fodder.
Right. We can bring that into the room and talk about that.
Absolutely.
Because kind of their beliefs about women and beliefs about men and women come to the room and they manifest and we work with it.
Yeah, that's part
rather
of the
than that shaming is, them and saying, I can't believe you're doing that.
It's like, right.
Let's talk
right.
about
No, that is part of the work. That's right. A big part of the work.
Right.
Important.
Yeah. Are there any, like, again, we obviously respect confidentiality, but are there any specific moments or experiences that you recall that stand out, like different shifts that you've seen men make or different stories you might have heard that stay with you? Just wondering if there's anything that stands out for you about that.
I recall working with a man who I think is truly bound by that idea of being a man.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you actually suggested that, and I think you suggest this, I don't know how many times, but that they use my presence to work on some of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And that has happened. And I have seen a shift in it might not sound like a big shift, but to me it was a shift of actually starting to maybe believe that when I had words of encouragement for the progress that this man was having, that he could begin to hear me. He did not dismiss me because I was a woman, or mm-hmm. he was beginning to hear me. That was very sweet, very special.
And that's where I think sometimes some of those traditional beliefs, it's like they receive the nurturing from you, I think, mm-hmm. in a different way than they do with me. And I think that mm-hmm. is sweet to see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because some of the men, as we know, didn't experience good mothering or didn't have that kind of nurturing mm-hmm. when they were younger. They were told to kind of get off the laps of parents and go out and play and stop your crying. And mm-hmm. so to have someone there that's, you know, shows that empathy and sweetness is curative for them.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, it's actually painful to see. I see sometimes the look in a man's eyes when I'm there with them
mm-hmm.
in their pain.
Yeah.
That I recognize it as painful, what they're experiencing, but they may not let themselves recognize that it's painful or admit that it's painful.
Right.
And I can see that look of, like, are you for real? You know, there's that distrust. Mm-hmm. And then they continue to try to go with me.
Right.
That's pretty wonderful.
Yeah.
You see
the pain. They have probably some shame about the fact that they're feeling it, because what's wrong with me? Why am I feeling so sad? Or why am I have this ache? But your empathy maybe has a way of reaching them and helping them start to connect with it and give them permission to share it. And I've seen that happen. In fact, we were emailing back and forth about this, and you sent something to me, and I'm going to read it, what you said. And you said, in the end, it is the ache that I feel when I see men missing the connections in their lives because of the fears of breaking the unspoken rules that keep us in our place. It is that ache that keeps me in this work and why I love it.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. That again gets back to the sacred space. Yeah. I feel, you know, I feel like I get to do this work.
Right.
It's like I'm so lucky. Mm-hmm. I get to do this work.
Right.
It's very special. And I think because of that tenderness and the rawness and the courage and the trust, all of that goes into such a state of being present in this very moment,
right,
that it does create sacred space.
Right. Yeah. And I think of, you know, just like mental health statistic of men committing suicide 4 times the rate of women. And some of that's because they're better at it, the lethality methods. Mm-hmm. But and we're seeing it even more so with, you know, middle America, with, you know, the demise of the manufacturing economy and having to retrain and retool for emotional intelligence, relational intelligence. A lot of men are feeling left behind, kind of, you know, in the margins.
Yes.
And so there's, you know, the meth and opioid epidemic, and then the rising suicide rates, particularly with young white men. Mm-hmm. So I just think that makes me think of that ache that you see. There's so many men that just feel that they don't have a place to share that.
Mm-hmm.
And they just think that they don't deserve to live, or it's just too much.
The ache for me is that I can see their value better than they can.
Yeah.
No, that because I don't look at any of, there's not a single man that I've interacted with that I feel like, no, there's a bad guy. there's goodness in these men.
Well, yeah.
And often it's hard for them to expose that.
Right. Well, that's the beauty of having you in the group, and I would not work with any female psychotherapist, because some of them would not be able to see the goodness inside them because they couldn't look past the behavior. Some of these guys, you've heard some of their histories. Mm-hmm. Not all of them have sorted histories with behavioral problems. Some of them just come in, you know, worried well, divorce adjustment. But some have histories of maybe domestic violence, sexual acting out in some ways, mm-hmm. affairs, pornography issues. And so they can talk about that with you and with us, but they don't feel shamed, because I think you can see the wounds inside where those things manifest, where those behaviors manifest.
Yeah, that is really something that I can, it's really not effortful on my part.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm grateful for that.
Mm-hmm.
Because I see how there are many women that are very vocal about their disdain for men who have done some things that are pretty awful.
Yeah. Unacceptable and need to be held accountable for.
Yeah, and it molds in, I think, to this sometimes into a movement of the white male patriarchy.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some disdain for men who are, they're just trying to find themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're just trying to live a bigger life.
Right.
And not in those negative ways.
Right.
That's I don't have a problem. I really cherish that.
Right. Yeah, that's, you see the large cultural landscape. You see kind of the history that brings men into the room, and then you're good at seeing kind of what's in their interior life that maybe it takes them a while to see, which then invites that out for them to share. And so I really appreciate the work that we do together, and I appreciate the conversation that we were able to have about that today, too.
Oh, I feel the same way, Randy. It's been a delight working with you, and this is fun.
Thanks for coming.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Revealing Men. If you're looking for more information about counseling, coaching, and consultative services, please visit the Men's Resource Center of West Michigan online at menscenter.org. Also, feel free to contact us on our website if you have questions about this segment, ideas for a topic, or would like to be a guest on the Revealing Men podcast. Please take a moment to subscribe and leave us a rating so others can find us. Be well and have a great day.